Hi, I'm Andy Powell. Normally, I am doing a podcast with another person. I don't do these ones by myself very often, but I thought it'd be a good idea to address voting since, today's Friday. It's Friday evening before the primary election in Yavapai County on the 30th, which is this coming Tuesday. So I figured it'd be good to address the voting, the candidates that I know, and just share my opinion. I think, I've met a lot of people that have a standard of, I don't really share who I vote for. Or I don't show you my ballot or anything like that. It's private, it's secret. I get the reason for that under certain circumstances, but right now I think it's more important than ever that we have the conversation of like, who are we all, because we're all in this together. Who are we all voting for and why, and what are the issues? You know, if I did this job full time, I could give you a really great breakdown of every single person on the ballot, but I just can't do that. This isn't my full-time job. So I'll do what I can. So I'm going to break down the Republican primary ballot for Yavapai County according to where I live. I won't have every candidate. You might live in a different district in the county, but I'll have the ones relevant to me, and I'll go through those. And I'll share some of the facts that I've gathered about each individual, which, you know, there's really not much, but maybe this will be helpful to somebody who doesn't know anything about the candidates. So I'll give you my perspective and you do what you're going to do from there. I'll tell you who I'm voting for and why. And I encourage everybody to do their own vetting as much as possible before you fill in the bubble on your ballot. Right now, our nation is on the brink of destruction, and it is crucial. We have to figure this out. If we're going to be good Americans, if we're going to stay Americans, if we're even going to be America, then we need to use our sacred vote, our sacred right to vote, and we need to take responsibility for our position as an American. So political stuff normally isn't really my thing, but I've kind of fallen into it this year by accident, and so I'm embracing that. While the drama of national politics is constantly unfolding, so is local politics. But for some reason, our focus is always on, you know, national politics, the things that are furthest away from us. Let's focus on our own backyard. I think that's super important. I think it's really strange when a person seeks out power or influence or control over people and will spend a lot of money to get there. I don't really understand that. Being a representative of people is different than being in charge of people. So somebody has to do that job. I think smart people are usually smart enough to know that they don't want to be in that position, so they avoid it. So who exactly are these people running, and why do they want this job? I did as many interviews as I could fit in this year before the 30th. So let's see what we found. First thing on the ballot is U.S. Senator. So the options are Mark Lamb, Elizabeth Jean Ray, and Carrie Lake. So I've been a Carrie Lake supporter for a long time. I don't know who Elizabeth Jean Ray is, and I like Mark Lamb a lot. I met Mark Lamb, had a short conversation with him. I have met Carrie Lake, didn't really get into conversation, but I was really surprised and really sad to find out that, somebody's running against Carrie Lake. At first I saw, Mark Lamb's going to run for something. That's awesome. I'll totally vote for him. And then I realized, that's the same position that Carrie Lake is running for. Turns out Mark Lamb was running for this position before Carrie Lake chose to run for this position, which I do not understand why Carrie Lake would run against Mark Lamb. They seem to be in the same arena as far as what they would do, what they would fight for, and why. So I don't really get that, but I do have to say I am a little disheartened by Carrie Lake calling Mark Lamb a coward. I don't believe that he's a coward. I think there's some sort of miscommunication of information or a misunderstanding of the information about the previous election and stuff like that. But I've heard Mark Lamb speak on this, and I respect what he said and how he said it. So I have actually changed I have to change my ballot now. I have filled out my ballot and I put Kerry Lake, and then I learned this stuff about Mark Lamb. So I'm actually changing my vote from Kerry Lake to Mark Lamb this time around. U.S. Congressman, District 2. We have Jack Smith and we have Eli Crane. Well, hopefully you already know who Eli Crane is. He's the best one we have right now, in my opinion. Former Navy SEAL. If you want to hear more of his story, you can listen to that on the Jocko podcast. His personal story of his time in the military and growing up and starting a business, all this stuff. Really good stuff. He has already proven himself. He represents the people. Doesn't matter what he wants. Doesn't matter. It matters most what we say. And he's listening to that, and he's taking that forward to Washington, and he is holding his ground for his people, for us people. I am extremely proud that he is my representative, and he is our representative here in this district in Yavapai County. He's doing an exceptional job. If Jack Smith, Jack Smith is running against Eli Crane for this position for some reason. There's a rumor that Jack Smith was paid to do so by Kevin McCarthy. I have no idea if that's true, if that's valid or not, but I do see that on Jack Smith's campaign signs around, they say a real conservative for rural Arizona, and real conservative is highlighted in red as if to imply that the current person is not a real conservative. And what they would mean by that, if that's the implication, is that Eli Crane is not going along with the party, or towing the party line in Washington, D.C. like they want him to. What he's actually doing is what he's supposed to be doing in representing the people. So I don't know Jack Smith. I've never met him. He used to work for Ace Hardware as like a transportation manager or something along those lines. But to run against Eli Crane doesn't make any sense any way that I can spin it. He's doing an exceptional job, and he should maintain. He's setting the standard right now for what it is to represent the people. Next up, we have State Senator for District 1. So I interviewed all three gentlemen running for this position. We have Mark Fincham, we have Steve Zipperman, and we have Ken Bennett. Ken Bennett is currently in the position, and he's been in government in Arizona for a long time. He's a business owner. He owns Bennett Oil and Bennett Glass. And his family's been here since 1938, I believe. They are Mormons. He's been well-liked historically in the community, but it seems lately that that's falling away, that people are realizing that he's kind of, you know, voting with the Democrats. You know, I interviewed Ken Bennett. If you want to see where he stands on most issues, you can go back and watch that podcast episode on the Purpose Project. So he is my last choice. I don't know what he's up to, but it seems like he's up to some stuff that he's not fully disclosing to the people. That's just my feeling. Steve Zipperman is who I'm voting for. On the congressman, I'm voting for Eli Crane. I didn't state that specifically. I'm voting for Eli Crane, not Jack Smith. So there's Ken Bennett, Steve Zipperman, and Mark Fincham. Steve Zipperman is who I'm voting for. I've had hours of conversation with him. I did a podcast with him. If you want to listen to that, I believe it's on audio only, that one. It was before I switched to video, but you can go back and listen to that. He is a constitutional conservative, and I tried to, you know, I put his feet to the fire because he comes from California. He was an attorney in California for a long time, but you know, he passed my screening process as being somebody from California who wants to represent in Arizona. He passed my test, so I'll vote for him. Now, Mark Fincham is kind of a close second, and I'll tell you why. I mean, kind of. It's kind of a close second because some of the stuff that I've learned about him is just, it's a little off-putting, it's a little unsettling. He's a very good speaker. He's a pretty personable guy. I like him. If Steve Zipperman wasn't running, I'd definitely be voting for Mark Fincham. However, 64% of his funding comes from out of state. He moved up here in order to run. So he moves up here and puts his hat in the ring, and now he's running. So some people don't like that. You know, if you're an Arizonan, you're an Arizonan, that's okay. I don't really understand the motivations behind that. What he told me on the podcast that we had was something to do with protecting ranchers and ranch land. Now, I don't know the extent or the depth of that, but I do know that there's just, it doesn't all flow smoothly to me the way that Mark Finchem has kind of come in here. It seems to me that if he's an establishment guy, which he may be, then he's coming in here to possibly split the vote. That might be the intention. I don't know. But he is actually endorsed by Trump, which this endorsement came shortly after spending about $53,000 at Mar-a-Lago. Some people say that he purchased the endorsement. I don't know. I don't know how that works, but the way that it looks is not very good. So, you know, so I'll vote for Steve Zipperman. If Steve wasn't there, I'd be voting for Finchem, but hopefully he's not going to split the vote enough to give the position back to Ken Bennett, because I don't think that Ken Bennett's doing an exceptional job. I think we can put somebody better in there. The next one is going to be state representative for District 1. You can pick two out of three of these. And we have Quang Nguyen, who is in the position now, Selena Bliss, who is in the position now, and Shondell Wildman, who is not in politics. I've had a conversation with Shondell Wildman, and she seems like a great candidate, a patriotic American who is very intelligent and will fight for us. I have never met Quang Nguyen. I have never met Selena Bliss. However, both of them, I looked at their websites and a little bit of other information about them, and they both seem like really solid candidates. So in my personal opinion for State Representative District 1, I think that all three of them are going to be great options. My vote is actually going to be for Shondell Wildman and Selena Bliss. I think all three of them are great candidates, so we'll see who gets it. The next one is Corporation Commissioner. You vote for, you choose three, and there are only three options. I don't know any of them. I don't know anything about them. To be honest, at this point, I don't even know what the Corporation Commission does. So we have Leah Marquez Peterson, Rachel Walden, Renee Lopez. I filled in all three bubbles because those are the only options to my knowledge. It does give you the option to write somebody in. However, I don't know who I would write in because I don't even know what these jobs are for. So the next one is, I'm in District 1. So this is going to be for the Board of Supervisors. And this is a very important role, I've learned, because the Board of Supervisors, there's only five of them. And there's one per district. So you have five people directing the money of the county for the most part. Like if the sheriff's office needs something, then they go to the Board of Supervisors and say, hey, this is what we need. This is the money we want to spend. And then they will either approve or deny it. I don't know the extent of their control of the money in other portions of the county, but I would assume it's similar. So running for Board of Supervisors in District 1 is going to be David McNabb, Greg Mangarelli, Deb Pernice, and Brooks Compton. So I'm going to rule these out real quick and tell you exactly why. Brooks Compton, absolutely not. And the reason is because he has financial ties with David Stringer. This automatically disqualifies him for me. I don't know exactly what the financial ties are, but you can see that there is a deed of trust between those two in the county public record. So we'll get into who Stringer is momentarily, but Brooks Compton is definitely a no because of his ties with David Stringer. Next would be David McNabb. Now, what I know about David McNabb is that he makes some killer Scottish bread, I think. I think I had some of his homemade bread that he made one time. I met him at a fireside meeting with a group of guys. But he also is a supporter of Stringer. David Stringer owns Prescott E-News. So I believe that David McNabb works part-time sometimes for Prescott E-News. So he's paid by Stringer. So there's a financial tie there as well. Either way, he supports Stringer, which automatically disqualifies him, in my view. The last two are Greg Mangarelli and Deb Pernice. So Greg Mangarelli used to be the mayor of Prescott, and there's a lot of controversy around that guy's name. There's a lot of rumors and stuff. I talked to the guy on the phone for probably about 5, maybe 10 minutes a couple weeks ago, just to try and see, like, you know, who are you? What are these things that people are saying about you? And what do you have to say about it? And he informed me that the rumor about him being pro development in a big way, like, is rather untrue. And the reason that he told me is for the past 20 something years, Prescott area has been growing at about 2% each year, which is pretty normal. And then it spiked when COVID happened, and he happened to be in the mayor seat at that time. So other people are saying, hey, you want all this growth, or you support all this growth, or allow all this growth. Now, I don't know that he does, but I also don't fully know that he doesn't. He also has some ties to the rodeo stuff, which he put out a couple of videos recently that are pretty clear. So you might check those out. But Deb Pernice, I had a brief conversation with her on the phone, trying to learn about her as well. I know that she comes from California and was involved a little bit politically over there. You know, I didn't get I wasn't impacted greatly by her, thinking, wow, this is the most exceptional candidate out of the four. In my opinion, out of these four, Greg Mangarelli's the guy. It always seems like it's an issue of who's the least shitty person here for us to pick from. And that's probably because, like I said before, you know, most people that are smart, that would be exceptional at the job, they know better than to put themselves into those positions, because who wants those? But unfortunately, the time has come where we need those people, the best, the smartest, the brightest, to come forward and serve for real. Because obviously this place is falling apart. So I will be voting for Greg Mangarelli, because I don't know that there's a better option. And to be honest, I'm not really super stoked about that vote. If I had more time to look into him, I might be more stoked about it, or I might have a different opinion. I really don't know. But at this point, I've done about all I can with the time that I have. Next on the list is county assessor. You can only vote for one for the Republican primary. It's Judd Simmons, so I filled in that bubble. Don't know a thing about Judd Simmons. Never met the person. County attorney. All right, so this is an important one. So David Stringer is running for county attorney, and he had a position, I believe, in the state Senate sometime in the last couple years where he actually resigned. There was an article written by the Phoenix New Times that talked about an incident. Actually, no, I'm just going to pull it up. So this is coming from a Phoenix New Times article, and this was written in 2019. And this is the title. Police report: David Stringer molested children, including disabled teen. Stringer was in his mid-30s at the time of the incident. This is written by Stephen Hesse and Lawrence Lanahan in March of 2019. So I'm going to read a little bit of this just so that you know who David Stringer is, and at least according to this article. and what his past is. And I don't think that anybody like this should be allowed to be in politics. I don't know how anybody has a lack of conscience to remove themselves from attempting to be in public service. I don't understand that mindset. But I'll read this. Baltimore police arrested former Arizona lawmaker David Stringer 4 decades ago on suspicion of repeatedly molesting 2 children, including a mentally defective or mentally incapacitated teenager, according to arrest reports released by the House of Ethics Committee on Friday. Baltimore detectives interviewed a 16-year-old boy in August of 1983 who said he and another child had oral and penetrative sex with David Stringer at least 10 times over the course of a year. On at least one occasion, Stringer paid each boy $10 after molesting them, the report states. Stringer was either 35 or 36 at the time. One of Stringer's victims went on to become a sexual offender himself, Phoenix New Times can confirm. Stringer, a Republican from Prescott, resigned from the Arizona House of Representatives on Wednesday after refusing to cooperate with an independent investigation into his sex charges, which were first revealed by Phoenix New Times in January. The document dump contains records collected by outside counsel Joseph Canefield of the firm Ballard Spahr over his weeks-long investigation. According to an arrest report, the father of one of Stringer's victims met with Baltimore police and gave them permission to interview his son. Stringer's victim told police that Stringer met the boys in Patterson Park near downtown Baltimore. The section of southeast Baltimore City where Stringer owned several properties in the 1980s, to the west of 55-acre Patterson Park, used to be notorious for prostitution. According to Baltimore Sun, stories of that era, men solicited teenage and even preteen boys in the area, leading Baltimore police and social workers to launch an effort to get the boys to stop hustling. The victim said Stringer asked if they wanted to go to his house and have some sex. The boys went to Stringer's apartment. Once inside, they went to the bedroom where Stringer performed fellatio on the boys and asked them to do it to him. They did perform the sex act on Mr. Stringer, according to the arrest report. The victim said he and the other boy met with Stringer at least 10 additional times after their first encounter. He said that each time he has been asked to perform acts of fellatio and sodomy with David Stringer, the report states. The boy also said he took a shower with Stringer, who the boy said played with his penis. The report states that the father of one of the victims told police the child was mental retarded, using an antiquated term for people who are intellectually disabled. He turned himself in on September 15th, 1983. Stringer faced 8 sex crime charges related to his arrest, and the report shows. Maryland prosecutors declined to pursue 3 of the charges. A report labeled case disposition appears to indicate that he entered into a plea deal on the 5 other charges, including perverted practice, sex offense in the 4th degree, sex offense in the 2nd degree, and 2 counts of sexual contact in the 3rd degree. He was sentenced to 5 years of supervised probation, as well as community service. He was also ordered to seek admission to the Johns Hopkins Sexual Disorders Clinic. The arrest report mostly tracks with the details in a microfiche case history that prompted the ethics investigation. The case history, however, listed 2 child pornography charges for Stringer, which don't appear to be reflected in the arrest reports. The disclosures contradict claims Stringer made to Arizona Daily Independent, a conservative news site. He told the site he was arrested for soliciting 2 prostitutes and possessing pornography, claims he denied. According to the site, Stringer maintained his innocence but took a plea deal in his case out of fear of a harsh prison sentence. Stringer got his case expunged in 1990, a Baltimore police detective told New Times in December, essentially erasing his criminal record from public view. At the time, Baltimore police, citing the expungement, had declined to provide New Times any records related to Stringer's arrest. The address listed for Stringer on his case history, 1740 Eastern Avenue, sits less than a mile away from Patterson Park. From the late 70s to late 90s, Stringer purchased or took out mortgages on several properties within walking distance of the park, according to Maryland land records. Just 2 months after Stringer was charged, the Baltimore Sun reported that police made 300 prostitution arrests along Eastern Avenue near the park. Young boys were among those who sold sex in the area. In 1975, the Sun published a story headlined, "Children of the Night Seek $5. Children of the Night Seek $5 High in Exchange for Homosexual Favors." The story reported that men traveled from out of town to the area seeking sex with minors. The youngsters, boys ranging in age from 10 to 17, call it hustling, and on Eastern Avenue, Baltimore Street, and the row house-lined byways of Highland Town, they are involved in the practice of selling sexual favors to adult male homosexuals. The judge who sentenced Stringer, Robert Hammerman, took his own life in 2004 after delivering letters to 2,000 people in Baltimore claiming that he would prefer to die quickly rather than slowly of an illness. Hammerman himself had faced allegations of sexual misconduct with children. One boy accused Hammerman of giving him inappropriate glances while they were showering after a tennis match. The Sun reported in 2000. Hammerman denied the allegation. So this article, well, there's one more paragraph. I'll read that. The House Ethics Committee hired counsel Kane Field, obtained the police report through a public records request. T.J. Shope, chairman of the Ethics Committee, said he first saw the report on Tuesday. After House Speaker Rusty Bowers saw the report, he decided to ask for Stringer's resignation on Wednesday. They had a long conversation, Shope said in a phone interview with New Times. Following the revelations, House Democratic leader Charlene Fernandez and Bowers issued a joint statement on Friday afternoon expressing shock and horror at the contents of the police report. "This is not about politics. It is about the safety and security of our children. It will not be easy, but for the sake of our state, for children, and for this institution that we love, we must resolve to move forward from this," they said. And then right after this, there are 14 pages of the police report. Some of the information is blacked out, redacted, probably addresses or names, but this is it. So you can go to Phoenix New Times to find that article. And that is why I am opposed to David Stringer not only winning, but running at all or holding any kind of power or influence or control. He owns Prescott E! News. So in my opinion, that's a problem, and we should not put somebody in the position of county attorney that has those tendencies or proclivities or preferences or whatever the hell you want to call it. The word pedophile comes to mind. So somebody like that, I don't believe should be put in office. So I will be voting for Dennis McGrane, who is currently the county attorney. I don't know much about him, but the craziest thing about this, well, I guess I just read the craziest thing, but another crazy thing about this is that both of these men who are running for county attorney have spent an exceptional amount of money. David Stringer's campaign finance report says that this election cycle alone, he spent somewhere in the neighborhood of $186,000 trying to get elected to county attorney. And Dennis McGrane is not too far behind at $140,000 spending to get reelected. It's a huge number to me, but like I guess if you're trying to prevent somebody like David Stringer from getting in, you'd want to spend the money. I completely agree. I have a hard time fathoming spending over $100,000 to try and get a county job that doesn't pay much. I just don't get it. I'm voting for Dennis McGrane because of what I just said about David Stringer. So next up is the county recorder, Michelle Burchill. She's wonderful. She does a great job. She is sincere. She's an open book. She did a podcast with me, and there's a lot of good information about the Yavapai County voting and how it all works. So if you have any questions, you can reach out to her and she'll answer your questions. She's fantastic. I'll vote for her. And there's nobody opposing her, at least on the Republican side that I can see. Nobody on the ballot. So county school superintendent. We have Kara Woods and Steve King. I don't know much about either of these people. All I really know is that I briefly met Kara Woods. She was kind of quiet. Asked for a signature. I didn't know anybody else. We talked briefly, and so I gave her a signature. I know nothing about Steve King, other than he writes really, really scary books. Wait, wrong guy. I don't know anything about Steve King. I wish I would have looked more into this, because next to county recorder and county attorney, I think that the school superintendent is a super important job. But her husband was caught tearing down the opponent's campaign signs, which is hilarious to me. I can't tell you how many times I've thought about going to tear down this sign or that sign, or mostly David Stringer signs. But it's funny that he got caught doing it. So I'll be voting for Kara Woods, mostly because she's the only one I've had contact with, and I don't know anything about Steve King. Next up is county sheriff. This is a contentious one. So I interviewed the current county sheriff. I interviewed Douglas Eckenrod, who is running for sheriff. And I interviewed the other gentleman who was running for sheriff, John Wright, who did not make it on the ballot, didn't get enough signatures. So if you want to know anything about where I stand in regards to the sheriff race, you can go back and watch any of the episodes having to do with Yavapai County Sheriff's Office or David Rhodes. So I will be voting for Douglas Eckenrod. I think he is a fantastic choice. I won't get into all the facts about all that stuff, the details. It's kind of been a shit show since I'm not in politics. Kind of got pulled into the middle of it a little bit. And I had several hours worth of conversation with Douglas Eckenrod. We did two different podcasts together. I did one with David Rhodes. He did not like the questions I was asking. He turned very dark after I started asking questions that either he wasn't prepared for or didn't want to hear. And one of the biggest issues with my conversation with David Rhodes is that after the conversation ended, he proposed that he would be willing to do this podcast again if I changed the questions or sent him the questions ahead of time. To which I replied, I will consider that. And then later on, I sent him an email offering to not publish that podcast recording that he did with me if he was willing to do a mediated debate between John Wright, Doug Eckenrod, and himself, mediated by me. He never got back to me, so I published the podcast that we did. And here we are. So I'll be voting for Douglas Eckenrod. I think he'd be a fantastic choice. And there you go. If you want to know more, check out those episodes. County Treasurer Chip Davis. I don't know anything about Chip Davis, but I'm voting for him, which is really, really a bad example. But he's the only one for that position on the Republican primary ballot. And then we have Judge of Superior Court, District 4. Then we have District 5, District 7, and District 8. Each of these, you vote for only one. Krista Carmen, I know nothing about. I filled in that bubble because they're the only person on the ballot for that position. And then we have District 5 is Henry Whitmer. I will be voting for Henry Whitmer. And there are two things I know about him. I had a brief conversation with him. I liked him. He was personable, and he is actually going up against a judge who has been appointed by our so-called governor, Katie Hobbs. So anybody that Katie Hobbs appoints, I think, is probably not good for the people. So I really hope that Henry Whitmer gets that position. Then District 7, Michael Bluff. I don't know anything about Michael Bluff. And District 8, I have Michael Bluff again, which I don't think that is correct, but I don't have my ballot in front of me. So whoever the one person was that is in that position, I am voting for them. So that is it. That's all the voting, all the stuff that I have for this election cycle's ballot. Now, I think it's super important to do vetting. I really wish that I could have interviewed more of these people or interviewed them more than once. Do your own research. Do the best you can. Please, please educate yourself. If you have kids that are of age to vote, get them to vote if they're not already voting. But this is seriously one of the most important things that we can do as Americans. This and owning a gun and several other things, you need to exercise your rights because, you know, people are trying to take them every day. People are trying to take them every day. May the best men and women be put in that position. And while there's a lot of division right now in our county, in our country, and in the world, first and foremost, I am a follower of Christ. So that supersedes all other things. And secondly, I am a patriot, an American veteran. And so that helps me to see that, you know, I don't care what state you're from. If you're an American, I'll root for you. Even if I disagree with what you're saying, I'll root for your right to be able to say it, because bad ideas only get pushed aside by having better ideas, not by silencing them. Well, that's all I got for now. Make sure you get out there and vote this Tuesday, July 30th, before 7 p.m. U.S. Senator Mark Lamb, U.S. Congressman District 2, Eli Crane, State Senate District 1, Steve Zipperman, State Representative District 1, Shondell Wildman and Selena Bliss, Corporation Commissioner Leah Marquez Peterson, Rachel Walden, and Renee Lopez, Board of Supervisors District 1, Greg Mangarelli, County Assessor Judd Simmons, County Attorney Dennis McGrain, County Recorder Michelle Birchall, School Superintendent Kara Woods, County Sheriff Douglas Eckenrod, County Treasurer Chip Davis, Judge of the Superior Court District 4, Krista Carmen, District 5, Henry Whitmer, District 7, Michael Bluff. God bless America.